super kicks. Bow, bow, bow,
bow. Tula, I think it goes more like this. It goes, bow, bow,
bow, bow, bow. I hit the wrong. Bow, wow, 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 wow.
It goes, wow, wow, wow. Anyway, it's hard to sing that. All right, what are we talking about? Oh, so here's the flip side of that match.
Lime, duh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I have been here for 12 years!
I'm going to tear the living shit out of you.
Who gives a shit?
Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect the wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Deb Black, a.k.a. Adonsky Black Amora, a.k.a. Donnie Mahalo, the future King of Iron Fist tournament winner and the future and returning cow podcast champion, a.k.a. Donnie Capri from that time I went to Italy.
Holy motherfucking shit.
No more Mr. Nice Jew.
A.k.a. the modern day goof and spoof Haraja.
Someone you idolize.
Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, baby, gubba, gubba, wee. Yeah, gubba, gubba, wee. Gubba, gubba, wee. Gubba, 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 wee. Sasha Banks on your 101 Drive Time Radio Waikiki. Here we go. This girl, she's mine. And hop, hop, hum.
I'm not a perfect person.
Damn, she's fine. What up, Jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, spicy, muy, muy caliente wrestling reactions. And as this drops, I'm sure all the true Jabroniacs, members of the Facebook group, members of the Cow Discord, members of all the Cow followers of Cow Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, all of our socials, everywhere knows that I have entered myself into the King of Iron Fist tournament. I have skirted off to Waikiki, Hawaii, secretly, and I am now recording the podcast from there. I'm recording this podcast right now from the LaCroix Hotel in downtown Waikiki. And, yeah, let me tell you. I just want to let you know, I guess I apologize in a way for being discreet about this. I'll introduce them, but we have Newman and Tulo here on the podcast today, and Phil the producer always in the back, baby. And listen, I kept this close to the chest, and I had to do what I was going to do. And listen, it was tough for me because for new listeners who don't know what's going on, Jason Shapiro, back in December 18th, 2020, came to my house, first went to Tulo's house, stole the money in the bank briefcase, which has a legal contract in it. It's a possession contract that if you have the contract, you get an immediate title shot at any time, any place. Stole that, flew over here on his way to Hawaii. He was post-breakup, and I was going to meet up with the guy even during the pandemic. Turns out I actually had COVID when this beatdown occurred. On his layover, stopped here. We were supposed to get some socially distanced in and out. He came over, beat me over the head with the cow money in the bank briefcase, pinned me, took the title, and went off to Hawaii. Now, look, most of you already know that stuff, but people ask me what's going on, and I want to let you know. I've been taking kind of a beating on this podcast for people saying my lack of inaction. You know, people saying that my lack of action, my inaction. Thank you, Newman, for the face. That did help. I'll be honest. That's not going to be my first flub of this pod. I've been getting my ass kicked out here in fucking Hawaii. And yeah, you know, all year people will be like, yo, it's a responsible error. The title just sat. And, you know, I had to stick to my guns. I don't know what that's like for you guys if you're in any kind of position of, let's quote-unquote power, let's say, and everyone's got an opinion, and you have to stick to what you think is right, but you're going to always question it, you know? And it didn't feel right to me to go out and wrestle with a title when there's a pandemic going on, you know, especially early on. But at some point, you have to step up to the plate. And what Shebs did, I looked into it, and I safely got over to Hawaii here. Had to get a special test. Had to get license to come over. It's a whole thing. But now I'm here. And, yeah, I'm entered into all the haters out there. Anyone who said, oh, Dan Black, the boring champion, or Dan Black, oh, the title just sat there. Any of you guys, just to prove it to you guys, I have now entered into the King of Iron Fist tournament. Okay? Now, technically, Shebs, and who could take this guy at his word because the guy's a fucking slime. You know what I mean? Technically, I could have got a title shot however I wanted. No. My point is to everyone out there, I will earn. Everything I get, I earn. Okay? Sheb says he's the hardest worker on the Zoom. That's what he calls himself. That's all he is. Hiding behind a Zoom, hiding behind a camera. Right? I'm the hardest worker in the fight. You know? And maybe that's not as flashy or sexy as a catchphrase. That's all that fucking... But all that matters is that I'm there. Hands up, getting my ass kicked. I mean, so I'm in this King of Iron Fist tournament. For people who don't know, the winner of the tournament gets a title shot WrestleMania weekend, which I believe... I'm trying to get hammer out the details with Glenn Stefani, the commissioner, the Hawaiian State Commissioner... Figure out when this is, but I believe it'll be April 10th. So, well, I'll get more details on that by next week, but I believe, I went through a bunch of rounds as Donnie Mahalo. I entered this tournament wearing this mask. You could see one of my fights where I had to expose myself to Jason Shapiro, show who I was, because I busted out the stunner, which people would say is a mistake, but I was up against Sal Eliazo, who was on a fucking tear, and it was just time. You feel it. I felt it was time. I needed to, I'm beat up, I'm bruised, my ribs are killing me. As a matter of fact, guys, you want to see some of this stuff going on with me right now?
Sure.
Oh.
Yikes.
That's gnarly. What's that from? Is that kendo stick again? That's worse. That looks like someone fucking cracked you.
Did you get hit with a coconut?
Hit my car?
What?
How did that
happen?
Dude, this was a kick.
Damn.
I don't even know these guys' names. Sometimes they don't even names. I just get a text 1 hour before a fight. I get a pin drop location on where these fights are being held. You know, and you show up. Yeah. There's no pleasantries. You know what I mean?
The Furious Five?
This guy had to look like he had like a 1 foot torso and 6 feet legs. You know what I mean? And this guy's just swinging at me like Stretch Armstrong. I think I have about three more rounds, okay, to get to the finals. I think two more rounds to get to the finals. But then after that, I got to face Shebs. And let me tell you, this guy is hooked up on this island. I mean, he wasn't messing around. Everybody knows the guy.
Yeah.
And, I don't have any friends out here, man, you know, and this is the toughest thing I've ever done. I could just sat back and commented about how cool all the booking is for wrestling and stuff, but it's just not, you know, like with the title out there and what Shebs is doing, it was weighing on all of us, man. You saw it. The morale of the community was low.
Low.
You know what I mean? And it's important for me to do this. So anyway, look, I know we got a lot of wrestling to talk about here today. I know that because we are very deeply in the road to WrestleMania. This is our post-fast lane. We got a lot of wrestling to talk about. But I'll just say this. If you want to support my endeavors here to Hawaii, I mean, doing this stuff is not cheap to come out here to enter the tournament. I had to bribe a couple people. You don't even, frankly, you don't even want to know what goes into all this stuff. If you want, like, a lot of interactions I got to make out here. Some people, you see Hawaii, everyone's like, oh, it's a resort town. You know what I mean? Like, it's beautiful, sunshine, gorgeous, hiking, this and that. Hawaii is always going to be, you know, a place that leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I mean, the taste of, you know, metal, the taste of blood, you know? So, you know, everyone associates places the way, you know, by their experiences. And my experience here has been pretty rough, man. So if you want to support us, you go to patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Support the endeavors here of that I'm going through. And I appreciate that. But, yeah, thank you for all your support, everybody. I'm asking for you guys. You see videos of what I'm going through. The way to support me, repost, share, send to a friend. Everything you do, retweet. Get the word out there. You know, we need to expose Shebs for the fucking piece of shit that he is, and get the word out about what's going on here in Cal, so that we can so that when people accost with the title and whatnot, it's not even a question. We'll have private testing services, private flights, you know what I mean, whatever we need to do to protect the Cal title, you know. Anyway, last thing, if you sign up at patreon.com/comedianswrestling, if you sign up, the new Cal stickers, which everyone has received, the Sting stickers, but by the way, by the artist who made that, she also made the Cow title art from the hoodies, is Angela Zhang. She's incredible. Nice. She's an artist who helped me out, but does not, this is a working incredible artist, does not need to be doing stuff for us, but does it. So give her a follow on Instagram, check out her shit, she's incredible. But those stickers are limited time, by the way. I have a very limited amount of them. They're big, expensive stickers, frankly.
They're sick.
So sign up at any level, patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Any level, you get the sticker while the supplies last. Do it now. If you love what you're listening to this podcast every week, you dig what we're doing, frankly, you should be a patron. Patreon.com. Because you also get access to our Discord, which is a good time. You get a lot of benefits, and many would argue too much benefits. All right, anyway, let's talk about wrestling. So this has been my only escape from this tournament. Like, I come home bruised and battered into the LaCroix Hotel, cozy up with
a... Is that
a
real thing?
LaCroix?
Like, do they...
The LaCroix Hotel?
Yeah.
Google it, bro.
Is it? That's where you're staying? That's amazing.
I'm staying at the LaCroix Hotel, yeah.
Do they have LaCroix there?
Yeah.
What?
The LaCroix company owns it. Yeah. I was in touch with them. Frankly, it's my safe haven. It's the only place I feel safe. You know what I mean?
It's like an embassy.
We see what happens to you when you drink a lime LaCroix in the heat of battle.
I don't have the bell. We got to do the virtual bell here on the soundboard, but we'll, nice. Like to get into the wrestling. But I'm pretty fucking excited to talk about the stuff that I was watching. All right. So anyway, by the way, I did introduce them, but Nasty Newman in the house.
How about it?
And the supermarket, the marketect, Mr. Nick Tulo. What is up?
Yo, 5:24 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's your boy.
Okay.
Tulo.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So I don't know exactly where to begin, but I'm going to start somewhere that's not the Bray costume. We're going to start the Bray costume second.
Okay.
What I want to talk about is the thing, and I try to do this on the pod, is like, what's the thing sticking in my head? You know what I mean? It might not be the top booked thing. But this is pretty high up. It is the main event. But I want to talk about Fastlane for a second and the main event of Fastlane. I'm curious where you guys are at on this. Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns was the main event of Fastlane, right?
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Bryan has this unbelievable ability to have great wrestling matches. It's kind of as simple as that. You know what I mean? Because that match started, and I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, what is this match? I really don't care about this match at all. It's clearly a placeholder match. And that's why they got Edge out here as the special enforcer, which, by the way, is hilarious. An enforcer when the crowd is virtual is even funnier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, if you're standing there, you're kind of like, yo, there's like 20,000 people here. So, like, right. It doesn't help to have an extra hand around, you know?
He's like reaching over, turning off screens. Like, all right, you're
Yeah, he's like, this guy.
Get him out of here. Click.
He's ejecting people virtually. He's got a keyboard, you know? But Edge is just walking around like an idiot for like 25 minutes of this match.
Yeah.
But anyway, I love it.
On the verge of a roid rage fit.
Yeah. I know, he's so roided out.
Yeah.
he's so roided, his like cheekbones are about to like pop through his cheek like demon horns. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Looks like somebody stretched skin over a predator helmet.
Yeah. And by the way, he looks awesome is what I mean to say.
Yeah.
It is hilarious. While I was watching, I was thinking about how, like, I used to think Edge was so little. I was like, this guy's so small to be the champion. Now he's huge. compared to the main roster, now Edge is like a giant, yeah, you know? Mm-hmm. Okay, but my point, this is not even the point. The point is that I was like, it's a whole other match. But Daniel Bryan, like, watch this match. I'm like, this guy really is so talented at wrestling. Like,
yeah,
halfway through the match, I was like, captivated. I was like, this guy just goes. Like, I don't know what it is, because he doesn't have like one move I love. I hated his gear. Like his gear, like his, I hate, you guys know I hate Seahawks Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, yeah.
Like without the foofy boots, without the goat, the looking like a goat, you know, without the hair and the facial hair. But he really just is, he just gets it in a way where I'm like, man, I'm vested in this match. Right? Did you guys feel that?
Yeah, I think he has got gears. Like, he shifts into gears. You know, he's got a unique way of building a match nicely. And then when you think he doesn't have another gear, he finds it, you know? And, like, and I think also is these guys coming back from these injuries, man, every move could be their last. So when I'm watching this guy wrestle, I'm always like, it's, like, crazy to think, but, like, man, ooh, that was a big bump. Like, he probably shouldn't be taking this bump if he's, you know, and it's he's just mesmerizing.
I always forget about that. I've totally forgotten about Daniel Bryan's neck situation. Like, yeah. The only reason I noticed is that he used to do like really stupid flips to the outside. He used to do like a lot of really ugly jumps to the outside that you're like, oh, this guy's nuts.
I would almost go as far to say is that Roman really and him have insane chemistry, man. And Roman wrestling right now is wild because he's bumping and selling as a heel now. So now we're seeing all these new fate. Dude, he took like a fuck something from Bryan. And he like, oh, it was a drop kick. And he popped up and he was like grabbing his jaw. And I'm like,
yeah,
man, these guys are telling a fucking story and it's art, you know?
Well, that's what it is. Like you mentioned the building of the match and how he finds these gears. Like, I know that he's sort of, I've heard from a few different people that Daniel Bryan, and I said this in the CalZoom Thunderdome, but Daniel Bryan is the one.
Which was a lot of fun, by the way. Shout out to everybody. Show that.
Yo, by the way, I didn't mention that, but sorry I missed the CalZoom Thunderdome. I was in the, I was recovering from, I was getting beat down. Pretty. That was one of my tougher, anyway.
It's fine. We know, we know. It's fine. But like the he booked, like, for instance, his that match against Brock Lesnar a couple years ago. That was like an amazing match. Bryan was the one.
Oh, it's a Survivor Series match?
Yeah. Bryan was the one who plotted that whole thing out, and mm-hmm. Lesnar just did what he told. He was the mm-hmm. one in charge. He produced that match, basically. And I have to assume he did the same thing here. But that's what he has such a good skill set around the storytelling of this and the theater of, like, we're going to tell a story through this fight that, yeah, he can put on a program with anybody.
Yeah. So I totally agree. So here's the, so we all agree that match was dope, right?
Yeah.
It was a great main event. Like, it was a great time. It was a little unclear when Edge came in and started doing the pin. They're like, oh, just so you know, the special enforcer can also do pins, right? You're like, oh, okay, all right, oh, yeah, okay.
It's like kids playing when they're like, I can fly. Oh, and also I can time travel. And like, also I can.
Like, at least just take the shirt off the ref. Like, at least, you know
what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, right. Just put it on. Yeah.
Anyway, but.
By the way, great ref bump, too.
I agree. Also, and he rolled. He did so much rolling, that ref.
Oh, yo, he ate that thing, man. Yeah.
So in the WWE, the referee official duties transfer in the same way as the Santa Claus does, where, like, if you get Santa Claus's suit and put it on, you're Santa Claus.
Exactly.
If you get the ref's shirt and put it on, they've now the duties have now transferred
to you. Ref, the job of ref in wrestling is probably one of the most unique job descriptions. You know, imagine reading a listing of what it is. It's like, you're the referee for a match. Now, that also entails you might get hit. You also have to, like, the boss is going to be in your ear telling the guys what moves. Like, it's such a specific job.
Well, really, I mean, in reality, in non-kayfabe, it's they're a assistant director.
You're like a stage. You're like a stage director, right? Like, what's it called? Like the guy who's in backstage in Broadway or whatever. This is like the stage guy.
Stagehand.
It's like, I want to say stagehand, but
no,
like,
that's who like builds the sets and shit.
I'm talking about the one who has a podium in the back. You know, there's like sometimes a guy with a podium in the back. Right. It's like, yeah, it's the backstage manager or something like that.
Right.
You know, anyway, like they have an earpiece to the actual director. Anyway, okay. If we had Skylar here, that would have been very helpful. But okay. So, who, by the way, Skylar Astin gave me a bump on the bump.
So
you guys see that?
Sure did.
Absolutely. I had a lot of pride in that. I was like, it felt really good to facilitate a super kick for someone.
You should start your own like edible arrangements.
Absolutely. Yeah. Kind of like a male madam of super kicks.
Mail order super kicks.
I'm like,
super kick party, order super kicks from Dan Black, Super Kicks Emporium.
Well, yo, I'm like a pimp. I'm like a super kick pimp.
You're a super kick pimp.
Yo, you trying to get kicked?
You're smacking people's feet around.
You're the godfather of super kicks.
Yeah, fuck, I'm the Heidi Fleiss of bow, super kicks.
Bow, 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 bow. Heidi Fleiss.
Anyway, so... Tula, I think it goes more like this. It goes... Bow, 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 bow.
I hit the wrong... Bow, wow, 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 wow.
It goes... Wow, wow, wow. Pew, pew. Anyway, it's hard to sing that. All right, what are we talking about? Oh, so here's the flip side of that match. It was a good time. Good match. Nothing to say. Daniel Bryan impressed me. And he constantly does that. It's like it's kind of amazing that he does that because he stinks right now. Like he's so vanilla right now, I think. Yeah. But he's also in that confusing zone of like his shirts still have eco-friendly stuff on it. He's still doing the yes stuff. It's kind of like undefined in a way. It's not bad. It's just not my style. Like I like a clearer character. But then the other side of it. Okay, so let's talk about the fallout of this match. He tapped out Roman Reigns. Now, I know he didn't get the pin or whatever. He tapped out Roman Reigns.
The win?
I think it was earned, though.
It was earned, but that means... I don't care if Roman Reigns taps, because I'd be
That's
a hypocrite, because
sick.
I said it's a big problem that there's no one who can on Roman Reigns' level. So they need to start getting guys up to Roman Reigns' level, or else... Because what happens here? He wrestles Edge... Beats Edge, then there's no competition for Roman Reigns. So elevating Daniel Bryan in the process, I see why they're doing it. It's smart. But ultimately, do I want a triple threat match between those guys? The answer to me is a definitive no. I mean, Edge-Roman is such a better match for Mania. Like, shoehorning Daniel Bryan. Like, Edge won the Royal Rumble, you know? He won the Royal Rumble. He came back. That's the story. You have the spear versus spear. To shoehorn Daniel Bryan in there, to me, it's just, it you know, And as someone who appreciates what Edge has done here, I don't like it. And it doesn't mean it's necessarily going to happen, so that I don't mind building up Daniel Bryan going forward. And maybe you give Daniel Bryan Jey Uso at Mania in some kind of...
It also adds the layer.
You know? That's what I would put. I would put Daniel Bryan and Jey Uso in a Hell in a Cell at Mania. That's what I would do.
I mean, how good is Jey Uso? He also got to wrestle fucking Edge on Friday, which was... A very good match, too.
It was great. I also just love that you're going to see spears. It's just fun. Like, Edge and Roman, you know, one's going to spear the other one night. It's fun. All right, what were you going to say, Newman? You were going to say something? I think I interrupted you.
No.
About the so the question to you guys is, does this triple threat interest you?
Yeah, actually. Just because I'm not a huge, I mean, here's the thing. I'm not a huge Edge mark. I'm not a huge Daniel Bryan mark. Roman Reigns is one of my guys.
You think you know me.
Watch out. Look behind you, bro. Look behind you, bro. Oh, never mind. It's your cat. All right. Sorry about that. I thought he was going to spear you, but he was just...
We've been playing a lot of fucking scary games. You can't be doing that to us.
He's offing catnip.
But the combination of the three is enough for me to be interested. You know, like, cumulatively speaking, my interest is peaked.
I think, well... let's go back to your point, Dan, right? It's about you loved how Daniel Bryan can perform, right? And I think it gets us to get more out of that match with both of them doing less, you know? So, like, you're going to get edge spots, less, you know, they'll be able to fill in spots and make the match more interesting without having to overwork Edge for a 20-minute Mania match. Now they can go a full 20, 25, all three of them, you know? We probably would have only got, like, a 15-minute match, which probably would deliver. But now you can really let this go as your main event. They can work more spots.
Yeah.
You can also get Roman to lose without eating a pin or tapping out.
Well, I actually think that's why they're doing it, to be honest. I think they're going to have Edge win by pinning
Daniel Bryan.
And then you go for Edge-Roman at SummerSlam. They just want to milk it more and give Edge a title run, which I wouldn't hate. I just want Edge to be the champion. I just think, like, why not? I think it would be a fun time.
Yeah. And, is there anybody else on the roster? Like,
there's a couple wrestlers. They have, like, a couple wrestlers.
Yeah, but I mean, like...
Do you mean that what? That could wrestle Roman?
That would be, yeah. Like, because I'm thinking, like, okay, you had to bring Edge back from the dead. You had to... You have Daniel Bryan, who's arguably already had a couple of moments, right, of being built up. Like, is there anybody else that, like, that pops into your head as far as, like, who could be against Roman?
What are you saying? Roman, you mean post-Mania Roman?
Yeah.
That's who you mean?
Yeah.
Well, Seth. We haven't really seen the Seth feud yet.
True.
Like, that's, like, the big feud.
Man, Seth Roman.
We'll see where that is. I mean, Seth's in this drip mode right now.
It's amazing.
It's pretty fun.
You know what we discovered? He has a stylist. Like,
so you found that out from a friend or something? Or?
No, we were when he Suzables, Susan Lloyd. Like, we were watching whatever, I guess Fastlane or Raw, and then we like discovered it. He has a stylist, and it was started as Becky's stylist, and then he just started using. His name is King Troy.
What does a stylist do?
They buy your clothes.
Pick out your outfits.
Stylists are...
Make sure that you're in the right fits and stuff. Make
I would
sure,
love
like,
to have a stylist at some point in my life. Like,
people can't figure this out on their own?
No. What a stylist does is, and a secret from JB having a stylist, is like, they'll come over and like, they'll just come over with a rack of shit. You try it on, you're like, yo, this looks dope, that's cool. And they'll be like, all right, you like that? All right, I get your vibe. All right, I'll come back with some more stuff. And then you're like, oh, shit, I look awesome because I would never have thought to rock this.
Yeah. You get a tailor to fit you perfectly. Like, if you look at Seth, he's in a really good fitting suits now, even though
you see Seth, his clothing's on another level than, like, a Kenny and the other guys, because there's only so much you can do on your own. And not only that, another thing about stylists is that they have access to clothes that you don't have access to also, because they have, like, deals with...
Mm-hmm. Like, secret back room. Like, what is this?
Because if you're a stylist... So the whole thing is, like, stylists build up clout. Oh, listen, I live in fucking L.A. You know the deal. Like stylists build up clout with, like, designers and shit, and then they give them stuff, and so you kind of, like... It's just not, like, store stuff. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. I don't know, yeah.
I mean, it is store stuff. We like, literally every time Seth comes out in a suit, we look it up and we find it, like, live on.
No, it's not store
street.
Stuff. It's not store stuff.
It's
Do you have to go to school to be a stylist?
There's a difference between.
Yeah.
There's a difference. Sorry, guys. I got kicked in the throat. No, there's a difference between stylist and wardrobe, right? So, like, a lot of wardrobe shit, and, like, for stuff that's, like, cheaper level, lower level, wardrobe is all. All, like, Zara's, H&M, right? Like, all the stores that's, like, cheap but looks great on camera, you know? Like, all that clothes looks amazing, but literally the second you're done shooting, you're like, all right, cool, and then break, you know what I mean?
But, yeah, stylist is going to make – is going to give you a wardrobe that's custom fitted to you and your style. Like, and it's going to be all your dimensions and all your measurements and everything like that are going to be factored into that. You get them, and then, like – you know, oh, this is what we're going for. Okay, and then we're going to do that and put you on. Like, obviously, Seth has a stylist. Like, he can't do that. Like, he's having them pick him out. But yeah.
I just don't know.
I mean, look at his suit. It was in a cow. It was like a cow print camo.
I understand the concept. I understand intellectually the what a stylist does. I just am shocked that people can't figure that out on their own. Actually, I'm not shocked. I'm dismayed.
I mean, they're wrestlers.
That people can't.
Did you see the pinnacle? Did you see what the pinnacle looked like? I mean, they were all not a single guy was in a good fitting suit. If they would have had a stylist, yo, they would have had them all pick out suits, get it properly tailored.
Ill-fitting wrestling suits. Ill-fitting suits is part of wrestling. Okay,
bro, those guys were like, oh, yeah, we're going to go shirts, no ties. Anyway. You guys got suits? Yeah, we got suits. And they just went into their closet and pulled
Men's Warehouse.
Yo, when was the last time those guys wore suits?
That's a crazy
WWE
shit about,
Hall
like,
of Fame?
That like the crazy shit is like when you wear something that fits right, it's like it, you, as you know, as notoriously, I'm the man who's wearing stuff that doesn't fit right.
Yeah.
So let's just keep that in mind. I'm not coming from a place. I'm not coming from the high ground or anything, but yeah, like you do see Seth and you're like, this guy is on another level. And Miz is a guy who's on another level wardrobe wise. Mm-hmm. These are guys now who are not dressing themselves. And to be honest, you can do it yourself, obviously, but it takes a it's full time to like if you're gonna have a fresh awesome look every week,
yeah.
You know
that's exactly. okay yes, that the frequency of it I think would necessitate a professional,
yeah, like Newman, if you had to like dress yourself for like your wedding or something, you had like 6 months to plan, then you don't need a stylist, you like go around shopping and find the dopest thing and put it all together, you know.
So this is rich people stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
But also it's Hollywood stuff. Like if you are like they'll send like it'll be in the budget of stuff. So that's what I'm saying. So like my friends who are like just comedians, right? Like will be in something and they send them a stylist and they're like, oh shit, I look awesome.
You ever watch Queer Eye? You ever watch Queer Eye? Tan. I mean,
right,
you haven't
tan,
watched it.
Exactly.
It's tan. I mean,
we spent a lot of time.
Tan is always, but it's like
stylist.
To me, that
stylist
job.
Tell we're three dudes.
Stylist dead end. We just stylist dead end.
Said it. 20 minutes on the concept of a stylist. What a pod.
All we gotta do is say 10.
Yeah.
Actually, we could talk about, like, I actually thought that match, would you guys say that was a 4-star match there? Mm.
Daniel Bryan, I thought the storytelling from start to finish was just top notch.
Did you guys see Meltzer gave Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa 4.75 stars?
Is that what he really gave it, or are you just kidding?
No, he really did. He couldn't give them 5.
He couldn't give them 5 for that?
No, yeah. It's the second highest women's. Yeah, Becky and Charlotte. It's the only other match that he rated that.
Like 7 stars for the matches.
Yeah, like, he's a jabroni.
Well, because it has women in it, so he can't do it.
Imagine. God forbid.
Can you imagine ranking matches with stars? What a life. I mean, stars. Whatever. I don't know. That's diminishing what he does. I'm sure what he does is cool. It's just so not what my deal.
It's impossible to diminish any further what he does.
Phil's deeming this the stylist dead end.
That's what I said.
That's true.
What Dave Meltzer does in his contribution is subatomic. Is how you cannot diminish it any further.
Yeah.
Meaningless.
Okay. Well, I think I'm gonna add that into the stylist dead end.
All right.
So listen, Fex. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about. I'll move on from this. If it is a triple threat, I know the match is going to be sick.
Yeah.
You know, like Daniel Bryan, Edge, Roman, great. The Edge Roman story has been slowed by this Fastlane pay-per-view. So they might have no other choice but to work the Daniel Bryan to get, because if you think about, I think it's just 100% happening because Reigns beat the shit out of both of them. Edge beat the shit out of both of them. Why would he do that, right? You know?
Yeah, just like logistically, like it doesn't make any sense.
It's McMahon's razor, right?
You know, he lost the match. Daniel Bryan lost the match. I know he made him tap, but he didn't win the match. So he's not, he has no real reason other than grudge to be added into this triple threat.
Now, can we talk about the sloppiness of this? I mean, we do it every year, so it's almost like whatever. It's what we expect. But forget about the actual booking, because some of the card is not terrible.
No, it's not.
You know, the card I could get behind. Let's just talk about the storytelling and the laziness of telling these stories. Like,
yeah,
and to be honest, saying that they're lazily told stories implies that they are stories. They're not stories,
right?
It's like here's this match is happening. Like you had the Bad Bunny and Rhea Ripley segments, right? Which were this week essentially the same segment.
Yep.
Where it's like I show up and then I challenge you and you accept, right? Mm-hmm.
It was this this end also Peyton Roy. It's all you have to do is ask for a match and that's what you get. Like that's what Raw told this week.
Right. Because if
you ask,
instead of
you'll get.
Right. Yeah. Instead of just having it be. Like something happens and Adam Pearce has to deem it, or fine. Sometimes you ask for it, it happens, and you say it was commissioned. But it's like, it feels so lazy, right?
Yeah, it's like crazy, man. It's
and like,
really
they're putting
weird.
Together an event. It's going to have like 100,000 people at it. Like,
and not what? Just that. Yeah. And not just that. They did the previous week was AJ and Omos coming out and saying, we want to match at WrestleMania. And they're like, okay, we accept. So they've done it multiple times. Yeah. And also the Drew match was kind of just booked out of nowhere. They just said, oh yeah, Drew versus Bobby at Mania. Like
exactly.
The whole Raw card is just thrown together and we're just going to do it.
AEW is smoking them. Is yeah. Like with just like vesting in their characters and their story. But that being said, this is just how they kind of do Mania now. I think I just kind of accept it, you know?
Well, I would say if you look at the SmackDown side, though, there's way more, like, I mean, they have both Rumble winners on SmackDown, right?
Right.
You have Apollo and Big E's been telling a story. The tag team title scene is actually pretty good. The women's match is Bianca and Sasha. That's been going on because of everything. So it's like you have one brand that's, oh, okay, this makes sense. All this is lining up the right way. But then you have Raw and you're like, I mean, what's going on? It's very interesting.
It is true. You've been making this point for a while. It is true. Like the Raw versus SmackDown in terms of how they're being handled is just it's significantly sloppier.
It's crazy.
Now that being said, let's take a step back. These matches aren't bad. That's the thing. Like Asuka Rhea Ripley is a cool match. That's a cool match. My beef with this is I think Rhea Ripley's fully in her zone now. I mean, if you think about when I was criticizing Rhea Ripley till now, the amount of fine-tuning she's done to even just her look alone, where now she has, they call her the nightmare, and then you see her and you're like, she looks like a nightmare. You know what I mean? Like with the eyebrow and just the hair like gelled all the way down. It reminds me of like when Punk kind of like figured his lookout, you know, you know, and so I think Rhea in her zone and like go in there and Rhea should just beat Asuka.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. And it sucks because Asuka really hasn't had a feud or a match that has mattered.
Yeah, but Asuka's had a whole career.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. No, I'm just saying it sucks just because I wish they would have taken the time to build up Asuka as this like. This Empress of Tomorrow, you're not ready for Asuka versus the Nightmare Rhea Ripley. We're only going to get that over the next 2 weeks when it should have been building this whole entire time.
Asuka has been booked pretty strong. She hasn't, though. She's been booked pretty strong, but it's been sloppy.
Like, of recent times, like, I mean, man, come on. I mean,
they sort of take it for granted that she's Asuka.
Yeah, I guess.
Yo, you know what I'm starting to not dig? Small thing.
Yes.
Starting to really bother me when I can see your sneakers when you're wrestling. Like, Asuka straight up rocks, like, sneakers.
Nikes, yeah.
Yeah. It's not just her. Daniel Bryan also, like, his kick pad.
Oh, like the kick pad and the
Adidas,
sneakers.
You know what I mean? Like, you could still wear those. It probably is not that hard to black that stuff out, right? I guess no one cares except me about this shit.
Well, I think it also depends on... I guess, like, what you want, like, in your style and stuff, too, you know?
Sure, but you look a million times better when you wear, like, if you think about, look at Randy, right? Yeah. Why do I always go to Randy? When you look at Randy, you're like, he wears snakeskin boots.
Well,
like, wrestling boots that are out of the, like, a viper that
kick
he fucking killed.
You know?
You
don't like it because it's the kick pads. Like,
the kick pads are whack.
The kick pads connect to the sneakers. And it doesn't make any sense. You know?
I'm not a kick pad guy anymore. I the kick pads rub me the wrong way. That being said, I do think kick pads are definitely a look that looks good on some people. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Finn Balor.
Finn Balor looks like a fucking $1 million. Yeah. That guy's so hot. I mean,
I like that butt.
Yo, Finn Balor. Oops, Finn Balor. I said this on the last pod, I think. I was talking to Tulo. I was kind of delirious at a fight that day. But so, like, in my eye, I said his eye zone is starting to look like that cracked out, low body fat, no sleep, like comic book. You know, when it's like they do a one panel that's like,
very Frank Miller. Yeah,
Frank Miller shit. And his eyes are dark.
Also, I actually think he also has some kind of like lazy eye thing going, because at the end of that match, he, like, you could tell, like, I don't know if it was if he's has an injury, maybe a broken orbital, I don't remember, but like you could tell, like, one eye was like, I have it actually, it's a like a lazy eye, I guess. And you just, he was like, I'm like, wow, this guy is really like even worse than.
I mean, he like, also looks like he's high as fuck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
I mean, his eyes are always red, like on the verge of tears.
Can he just come? Can he just pull up on a motorcycle? Like, I mean, that's all he needs, right? Imagine if he just flipped up the fucking thing, took the helmet off. Like,
I mean, most wrestlers would improve by no less than 80% if they pulled up on a motorcycle, smoking a cig.
All blacked out ninja.
Yo, guys, did we just take a hot guy detour?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Took a little hot guy detour.
We're trying to rebrand.
Do you have sound effect for the hot guy detour?
Yeah.
Probably not.
It's the Austin Powers. It's the Austin Powers theme song.
I'm going to find some of the Hot Guy Detour.
Should be
this,
if you
this
think
is
I'm
a Hot Guy Detour right
Stewart.
Here. Yeah, the Hot Guy Oof. Detour. Just, you know, literally,
I mean,
like,
I mean,
you mentioned Finn Balor, and I had to just talk about how hot he is.
I mean, if you're going to play that music, you want to talk about how fucking hot and bothered you got by Drew McIntyre being in face paint?
So it's in my notes, obviously. Yeah. All right. Well, and we'll get to the Bray costume soon. But yeah. Well. So a lot of these matches are booked. We're just to finish up the Ripley Oscar thing.
Yeah.
Ripley's as cooked as she's gonna be. Just put the rocket on her, right? Like,
yeah,
that's
let's
what
go.
Foley was saying. Like, I think everyone agrees. Figure out what to do to Oscar. They always do Tula. What I was saying to you is that Oscar's booked pretty strong in the scope of the women's division. But yes, she does have this constant like start and stop. Like coming into last Mania, I think we didn't even know if she was going to have a fight or something. Wasn't she the champion coming in? And then it was like, is she going to have a match?
Yeah, it was Becky?
No. Coming into last Mania, Becky, Asuka, I think Asuka lost the title like last second to Charlotte, maybe? I don't know.
No, she didn't have it because she won Money in the Bank and then became the Raw champ.
I don't remember what I'm talking about, but there's a couple of moments where Asuka's like, you're like, there's this thing where she's the champion, but they're not putting any focus on her. It's happened a couple times. Anyway, but yeah, so that real Ripley match would be good. Charlotte diagnosed with COVID-19, by the way.
By Rhea Ripley, too. What a fucking line to have to drop in your opening promo to announce that Charlotte has COVID. Did you even realize that? Like, that was
Wait,
in
Ripley
Rhea's
said
pro-
it?
Yeah, she's like, she's out with, first of all, kudos to her because you could tell she forgot her lines. You know, she was trying to find it.
Rhea?
And she slow built up, and then she's like, Charlotte's not here, because she has COVID. I was
it's
like,
not
whoa.
Her fault. Triple H doesn't get these guys ready for what main roster entails. So it's not her fault.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I knew, I saw what was going on. I felt so bad for her. And then they made her announce that Charlotte has COVID. Well, come on. Like, of all things to fucking give on your opening promo on Raw? Like, God, dude.
I know. Well, we're in the zone now with
something,
COVID.
I mean, and this is a shitty way to look at it. But, like, not only is it, like, nerve-wracking to have to announce that, but also then...
I mean, I announced it on the pod, by the way. I read my results live on the podcast. Just to let you know.
But doesn't that then, psychologically, garner sympathy for her opponent from the people she's appealing to with her promo?
Yeah, I got it.
Misstep,
right? Yeah.
Misstep.
Yeah, I think the weird thing about COVID, if you want to just get into it, is that COVID means different things to different people.
Right.
Some people see COVID as like a potential lethal virus, which is what it is. And then some people look at the stats of like your odds are you're going to be fine. And frankly, they're both right. It just depends on which way you approach it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, if you want to say that it is a disease that is 10 times deadlier than the flu is that your odds are good, then yeah. But
right. And then you could also approach it as the flu's not that deadly for people in her age range. I'm just saying, you could see it however you want to see it. And I think that's what's going on, is that the sensitivity levels are all over the place on COVID, is what I'm saying.
Right. Well, the crazy
Which
thing about
a lot
that
from Trump, if you want to get into it, but like, you know what I mean? Like the or forget about blaming it on Trump. It's just the switch in administration. You know what I mean? Like, it's, yeah. Anyway, so I do think it's weird when it comes to writing. Like when you're, I think it's, I have friends who are like, is this, they message me like, can I tweet this? You know what I mean? Because people don't really know where the lines are for that stuff. Yeah.
Well, also because she got caught in the whole Andrade thing too. So people are like, oh, we're hearing Charlotte's off the card. And people are starting to say, well, it's probably had something to do with Andrade. So all these rumors swirling. And then it's like, oh, no, she's off because
yeah,
she has COVID. It's like, all right. So, like, you know, it's like right. crazy. Like,
well, that had to be such a mark to think that Charlotte was going to stand up to WWE. Do you guys know how this thing works? I mean, how much more do we have to see? Like, Charlotte didn't say shit to Vince about Andrade. Trust me. I mean, I would bet anybody.
She might have helped him. She might have helped him get out because they waived his no-compete clause. So
yes, maybe that. Maybe yeah. that. But she never was like, I'm threatening my career at all. There's no yeah. chance. And that's just not how that company works. Now, also, Andrade, immediate AEW buy or no?
I think he's going NJPW.
Yeah, back to Japan?
Yeah.
New Japan's a very sexy place to go, I think, for wrestlers right now.
But I mean, I would love to see him in AEW because you got Zelina, too, so you could fucking...
Is Zelina in AEW yet?
Well, no, she's a free agent, though. They're both ready to go now.
I mean, I would obviously love to see him in AEW over NJPW because AEW is easier to watch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Selfish reasons that I would want to.
I did also hear in the dirts, but a long time ago, that he wanted to go back to Japan.
And they're also already teasing that, like, Ospreay and Cobb have a stable and they're teasing somebody, like, another foreign, yeah. like, person to come in. And they're talking about it possibly being him.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Right?
Yeah. What's going on with New Japan's relationship with AEW? Is it not much, right? It's just kind of
it's
one and guns.
I think it's that Forbidden Door is open, so I think they're waiting to do this stuff with Impact.
They're waiting
to move on to the New Japan storytelling because they got Rebellion coming up. Kenny was just on Impact this week again and fucking killed it. Like, so once that goes, they sent the Impact titles over to with Finjuice, like over to Japan. So I think it's all just gonna once Kenny fucking kills Rich Swann and takes the titles, it's get ready because it's gonna be fucking wild. Fun.
Let's talk about Drew face paint. I mean, I don't have much to say other than just like, this guy is a main event dude. He has a look that belongs walking down a ramp of a Mania main event.
He's got it all, right?
He really does have it all.
His finisher sick.
The only thing he hasn't had is this crowd to help him. You know, his whole title run has had no crowd, you know?
I mean, he's probably going to beat Brock Lesnar,
you know? It's a huge deal.
You know, honestly, that's probably why they made him drop the title so he can win it back at Mania and give
him
the
top. He's definitely beating.
He's going to get the entrance, right? He's going to get the win probably. I mean,
yeah.
It's so just so wild that the paintbrush that he was using to paint his face was like an actual paintbrush.
I know that was so funny. But that just shows you what
just
like
down the beard onto the neck too. No regard for anything. Just coloring outside the lines.
This is a $1 billion publicly traded company. Goldust painted his face for 40
years. It's different. You know, like that's something they talk about. Like every day he showed up, every day he put on his face paint. It's just his thing. You know,
it is interesting because I was like, I think I could have been really sold on a Sheamus Drew McIntyre Mania match.
I'll tell you what.
This Fastlane match, the story building up to it was really fucking good.
Yeah, they could have just built that to the title, to Mania. It would have been great, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, it's an awkward WrestleMania. It is awkward. Yeah. It is sloppy.
This happens every year, though. Yeah. This happens every year. Think about it.
Isn't this one awkward?
They go into this last pay-per-view, and we're like, I remember last year. It was just like, I'm like, what the fuck? They got nothing booked. Fastlane's in the way. Fastlane happens. The Monday comes out. Bad Bunny versus Miz. Drew versus Lashley. The tag team match. The fun, like, there's humor going. Like, they're just built, bang, 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 bang. And they're just like, here you go. Your Mania cards. And you're like, oh, shit, this is going to be a fun Mania. Okay, I'm kind of looking forward to this. I'm in for the Bad Bunny. Like, you know, it happens every year. We do it every single year. We throw up our arms, and then we just go into Mania. Like, all right, you know, it is. I'm kind of excited about it.
I think this is the worst one, though. I agree it happens every year. I 100% agree. Right. I think that just in terms of build, and to be fair, they're doing two nights for the first time.
No, it happened last year.
What?
Two nights live, but they did two nights last year.
I forgot that last year. Dude, that was such a fucking blur.
I know. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. I was like, actually, I said that out loud, and I was like previously, and I was like, wait, did they do two nights? Or was that just a thing? But then you remember, they did.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you are right. But whatever. This time they're doing it
in live.
Again.
Live crowd two nights.
This time they're doing it again.
Live crowd.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. But it's just, this one's a little jank. That's all I'm saying. Now, that being said, I do think the card is fun and good. I'm kind of like okay not going, though. That's kind of the weird thing. Is that like
completely cool not going?
Right? Like I'm cool not going, like, because it's just,
there is that FOMO. You know, we've been to it. We've been planning it. Like, I'm like, oh, I really want to get there, like, and go. And then I see a lot of cool stuff that's happening. But also Florida, like, Miami's like the world seems like it's burning down over there, like in the streets at night, like with partying and stuff and people going crazy.
It's
'cause
it's spring break, right?
Now you combine that with a whole bunch of crazy wrestling fans in Tampa. I think it's gonna just, I'm cool, man. I'll go to Dallas next year.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to Dallas.
Or wait for SummerSlam.
Let's finally get to this Bray costume. And Newman, I'm gonna let you lead because this feels like the most Newman-y thing to ever happen in wrestling. But so, Bray Wyatt made his triumphant return, his vengeful return to at Fastlane, and he had a new costume, a charred new costume, Newman. What did you think of the match, and what did you think of the Bray costume, and what do you think of the storytelling of the Bray Randy thing, you know?
Okay, I mean, the match, loved it. We need more spooky things, fireballs, weird, viscous liquid. Like I said a couple years ago, I was like, the Bray Wyatt needs to be like, the lights need to be going out, and his opponent needs to suddenly be like in the corner of the ring with like a fucking dead crow stuffed in his mouth. Like I need more horror in this shit, right? And I think that Alexa is doing a fantastic job. Randy's awesome for like playing along with all this, because he's sort of always been like just a more straightforward like character, right? I fucking lost my mind when the Fiend came back, and when he came through the fucking floor and we saw his face all melted, the one like milky blue contact is sick. The only thing I'm like about is like the bodice, like the whatever he has on. Like, I'm not.
What about
too
the bubbly burnt hands too?
All the creature effects on his face and his hand. I love that he's sort of taped together. Like there was like almost like duct tape on him and shit. Like, I think that's cool.
Right.
But the storytelling, this is great. We don't ever get this. We don't ever get a story that like pays off, let alone one that like builds to something. I would have just liked more of it to be involved with the shows leading up to this point, because you really had to like watch and find the shit and then like to like keep along with it. Yeah. So I think it should have been front and center more.
In terms of the body, you're saying, like, I don't know why they didn't just make it like a burnt version of what he wears.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? I guess because it's a tank top is what he wears. But why not have the jacket? You could have had like the burnt jacket look or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But also, it's not a big deal if he like
it's such a
put
small
on
thing.
Clothes, right? Like, I was thinking about it. Like, if he's burnt up, he can still put on clothes. I guess
let him put on clothes.
It didn't look amazing. Like it was just a little.
Okay.
I didn't care though. But
was...
I see why people are upset by it. But like, man, I was reading on Swamp Facebook, like, people are really ripping into it, and you're like, yo, you have to, there has to be a line where you have fun. Like, there has to be a line.
No, they can't have fun. Because it's not exactly precisely as the way they think it should be, so it's bad.
Yeah, it's like, do you guys understand what, like, how hard what WWE does? Even being like this billion-dollar company, like, the physical mental errors is the whole thing. Like, mentally, their head was in the right place here.
Right.
Right? Physically, the costume didn't come together in time perfectly. Right? Let that go. That's the sparklers in AEW situation.
Plus, you're
mentally,
dealing with
they booked an awesome match. Physically, the sparklers didn't go off on live television. You know what I'm saying?
That's barely, though, like, I think that's barely the level of, like, the sparklers not going off. Like, it's just a slight... a slight stylistically, it's a choice right. stylistically that is slightly off from what I would prefer.
Right.
And that's all it is.
And look at the sparklers not going off. The beauty of it is you have another show to fucking work it and change it, you know, to make it make sense, you know, and that's what right. they did on AEW. I would expect that Bray seems to be the creative director in all this, and he has the freedom to do the things that he wants. So this isn't the last step for The Fiend. I think this is going to keep evolving. Does it along the timeline of Bray, like, I don't think he's ever going to go back to original Bray, right? I think this right. is just going to keep evolving into something else, and we're going to keep getting this over time. Like, I think this is a huge universe now that it's like a branch off of WWE, and I don't know what's next, but I'm excited about it for fucking Mania. Are we going to get a cinematic match?
I mean,
or do we get a lot because they got the live crowd? They do something.
I don't think they're playing a cinematic match. I think they're going to do something closer to what they did with Abu Dhabi, like with the Rollins. You know what I mean? I don't think
the other thing I noticed too is that Alexa Cup wrestles in a purple light and Fiend wrestles in a red light. So I like how they have their own style thing. You know, I never realized that. I was like, oh shit, I just realized Alexa's been in this purple light when she fights as this character. That's fucking pretty awesome, you know? And then the Fiend shows up and it's like a combination of the two of them.
Yeah, it was cool. It was definitely not a perfect situation. I also see, look, all right, here's my big gripe with it. I think it's fun. I'm excited for the match. I'm the guy who liked the House of Horrors match. I like the projections, you know? I also think that in the next couple weeks, we'll see Fiend cut promos likely. That'll be pretty cool like that. I guess we don't see Sweater Bray for at least a while, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means. But the small things with WWE that I'll never get. It's like, I'll never get how you had like a couple months without Fiend. You kind of had Alexa sitting in the middle of like, it's not a pentagram, right?
Right. It's just a star in a circle.
And they couldn't drop lines that were like, all I need, like, just like, what if the story was, the only thing I need to bring back Bray is a drop of Randy's blood, right?
Right. And some then, Sabrina the Teenage Witch type shit.
Like that. So you have one little thing that is like one motivation, like, right? One goal. Like, and then in that match, Alexa just had to get his hand, prick it, get the blood, and then we see Fiend, and you're like, you'd follow it a little more. Right. I'm not saying that that's a spitball idea, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it always feels like you're watching the same thing over and over, as opposed to a story progressing. You right. know?
Well, that's what I mean by
I'm just saying that's the stuff I don't get, because they have a writer's room, right. So I don't know why not have things be a little fine tuned. You know,
I mean, that's the thing, is I don't disagree with you, and that's what I meant with, I wish that it was more prominently featured more often in the shows week to week, because like you, it's tough to do that when you give Alexa 2 minutes to do something, and then we don't see it again for the rest of the fucking episode,
right?
Instead of like 5 or 10 minutes every episode, constantly hammering that, like, her like mission to get the Fiend to come back. If you gave it more space, they would have been able to tell that story
right.
better.
And I think the more you actually engage people over, if you go for frosting over cake, or you go for spectacle over story, right? Mm-hmm. Then people are really analyzing the spectacle. So like when you have it where if you have it where it's like, oh, let's see, the focus of Fiend coming back was his costume. Right?
What's he going to look like?
Yeah. As opposed to like, oh, Fiend's back because these course of events happened. Right? You know what I mean? Then you wouldn't even really, you wouldn't care as much. You'd be like, that felt so satisfying. That's how I felt about the AEW Sparkler thing, where I was like, the Eddie Kingston moment like was so killer that I didn't give a shit. I guess, you know?
I would even take it a step further, and I would have Alexa start to like retcon things that happened to other superstars in their matches that start to fulfill this prophecy of him coming back. Like Ali getting attacked by Retribution, right? Yeah. She has like a tarot card. She's like, ooh, the foolish king. He blah, blah, blah. And then they show a clip of like him getting, and
that'd
then it's like,
sick.
Oh, this other
that'd
match.
Be so sick.
And then it's like, oh, all this stuff happening in this universe. Now the stars are aligned and he's back.
That would
that's
be so,
what I would
that
do.
That would be so sick. They'll never do that's so run. They're way too run and gun for that. But right. That being said, I just love Bray. I think he's so cool and fun.
I think we could be getting something even more like along the lines of they might be going, since it's Randy again, now you have to start thinking about the history of where this is going to lead to. Maybe we get back to the Sister Abigail stuff, the resurrecting of another being or some kind of shit. I think there's, I'm telling you, I think we're just scratching the surface with this new era now. And like we have two more Raws to kind of build this. And I think that's the perfect amount of time before Mania for them to do this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I think, like, I mean, fuck it, dude. They need to, like, put, I'm, like, I'm geeking out over this now. They need to put, like, do some, like, True Detective time as a flat circle shit where, like, the fire that he used to burn the fiend was the fire in the house that he burnt down, and it's all happening at the same time, and
the
fiend
gasoline.
Was in the grave, and the gas, they just, come on.
Right.
It's all there.
How funny was it when Randy smelled the gasoline? He was like, ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's real. And then he was like,
yeah.
Ooh, that's good shit. High octane.
Yeah.
Now, smell some of this.
I guess it's just that when it comes down to it, we the lead up of Orton Bray for Mania 33 was again another frosting no cake situation. Like it was like cool. He like burnt down a whole fucking house. You know what I mean? Like it was like he like in front of the house and like and we still don't know like what Sister Abigail was. We still it made no sense. You know?
Well, I think you know right? Wouldn't we think like this is they're still telling this story, right? I mean, we're here again. We're right back where they were, right? So now it's like. He's
I
been
guess,
always
sure. sure. He, I'll give you that.
I mean, I think this has been Bray's story this whole the Fiend story this whole entire time. It's like get revenge on for Randy for burning down the shit, right? They've hurt him with the fire, they've hurt him with his own weapon, and now we're, you know, we've seen the burnt down fucking house picture on in the Firefly Funhouse. I think it's always just been about getting back to Randy, you know?
Didn't
luring
the Fiend,
him out.
Or didn't Bray Wyatt like telegraph the Fiend like over the course of like a year with like cryptic tweets and shit. Isn't that something that happened?
Oh yeah. Way right. back. Like yeah. way
he
even
was
further
on
back.
For,
forever.
He was working on it for a very long time. He was pitching it like this is stuff I've heard. He's like you know, it was all his thing that he was like, let me try this thing, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, the insurance policy of it all is that, okay, you just have to believe that this has been the story and it's not done. And then we're going to know when it's going to conclude. It's going to come down to the end, the final chapter, and he'll either probably leave wrestling or go somewhere else, you know? And we get a new version of him.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see where it goes. I mean, he's regardless, it's a good time.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Let's talk about like maybe the worst thing in wrestling history, which is Shane McMahon Braun Strowman feud.
Oh my god, dude!
I mean, is there? I can't think of anything worse. To be honest, I'm having a hard time. Like I in recent history, like you think it's things far back, but I mean, they're really. This was Shane McMahon singing like a Braun Strowman is stupid song with Elias. I mean. Iced Elias to such a high. I mean, it made Elias look like a fucking idiot. This is a guy who was as hot as can be at one point. I don't know what to say. It gets worse and worse every second. I feel embarrassed for Shane watching this. I feel bad for Strowman who is in the fucking zone. Do you see what this guy looks like?
Yeah,
I mean,
they gave him choo-choo music when he runs around the train now. Oh my fucking god, dude. They gave him fucking choo-choo music. Now when he's running around the ring, they fucking play a sound.
All aboard. Chugga, chugga, chugga.
I didn't even notice that.
Oh my god.
Strowman the pain engine.
They can't give this guy a fucking good match at Mania? I mean, they gave him a 9-year-old son of a referee, son of a bar mitzvah photographer. I mean, like, I'm like just blown away.
That's a great gimmick, though, son of a bar mitzvah. It's my gimmick.
First of all, what a line! Put it on a t-shirt immediately. But, like, you know, it's just like, I what is it, man? Like, listen, I just was watching some old clips, and, like, when Shane's around and the McMahons are doing the full McMahon, if you're going to do the McMahon things, go all out. Instead, what I'm getting is, does Shane have a problem? Like, was this him saying, I want a match at Mania? Like, just tell that. Say that. Right. Show that. Just be like, Shane is a spoiled rich brat. He came to Vince. He wants a match. And he said, well, you're going to have to find a way. And he pissed off the biggest dude in the room and got him. See that? I got a match. I told you I could do it. I can't, man. I fucking.
It's inexcusably terrible. Yeah. And again, it's another frosting cake moment, right? So they haven't done anything. What?
Did you see Shane's shirt?
The Stupid Express?
Yeah. Oh.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. If you saw someone wearing a Stupid Express shirt, would you think they are a member of the Stupid Express?
The conductor.
Or would you think that that's about somebody else?
The motherfucker's driving the Stupid Express.
Honestly, I've said it before. I have a hard time making fun of Shane because right. I think something's wrong with him.
Yeah.
What I'm saying. It's like that's what they're giving off. Like he has a drug problem.
Writing. So what I'm saying is that we talk about frosting cake, right? This match, there's no substance to it at all. It's the most one note. It's less than one note, you know?
Yeah.
And the only thing to save this is Shane falling off something high, which we don't need anymore. Like, it's uncomfortable. It's affecting his mental state, maybe. I mean, I don't know why I laughed. I apologize for that. I'm actually not laughing.
But you're laughing at sort of the absurdity of
the absurdity, because it's like his dad is controlling this, right. And his dad doesn't realize, hey, my son's getting older. Why don't I just write him a better story so that people don't care about him falling 1,000 feet? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But who knows? Vince is 75 years old. He squatted 1,000 pounds this week. He is the man also. So I don't know what else to say. You know?
Who's he working out with? Hurricane Helms? Him and Helmsy are squatting 1,000 pounds, like, over here? Like, no big deal?
I love it. Oh! And they're in that fucking Titan Towers gym that has, like, the neon, you know? Like, oh, God. I mean, I've never even seen that squat machine. Like, you know, that kind of machine. I don't even go to gyms that have that, you know? It's so unnecessary for him at that age. He should be just walking on the treadmill. You know what I mean? But anyway, look.
Get a nice source of collagen. Do some walking on the treadmill.
It's just crazy, man. It's just wild.
Yeah. All right. We're going to get out of here. Last thing I'm going to say is just a New Japan thing. Obviously, I don't keep up on New Japan. I wish I could. It's just whatever. But, I follow their Instagram and stuff, and that's why I'll look into stuff. But so Will Ospreay won the New Japan, the Junior Super Junior? I don't know what the fuck. New Japan Cup? He won that ridiculous looking trophy. Did you see it? It's like a crown wedding cake.
It's like a wing, right?
No, not that one. The wing one he's had. This is a crown wedding cake. Like it's like everything they do is right out of Final Fantasy, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, I can't go in frame, but it's huge. Whatever, you can look at the video. But so he what's going on here? Ospreay cut a promo after, and apparently he gave his finishing move to the wrestler he was going against. Then he gave his finishing move to his girlfriend, right? What's her name? B. Priestley?
Yeah.
And then cut a promo just being like, just to let you know, like, my number one priority is the title, even over my girlfriend, you know? And I was like, but like, you're like, all right, on one hand, you're like, all right, it's kind of fucked up. But you're like, and it does prove a point, which is, you know, it's wrestling. So he's giving a wrestling move to another wrestler. Right. So, you know, let's not look at it too far, I don't think. But then also, Ospreay's calling out Kota Ibushi. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy's ready to be like the top guy over there already, right? Like, I'm surprised it's taking so long.
They love him over there.
Isn't he like 230 pounds now?
He's gotten beefed up. the thing I love in New Japan, he's like, yo, I came in. He's like, just like Kota Ibushi, I came in as a junior, and like now I'm a heavyweight. They deem themselves heavyweights. It's one of the things I love in New Japan. They're like, now I'm a heavyweight, and they literally put on muscle to move up. You know, they try to beef up to be a believable heavyweight. You know, New Japan. The thing about New Japan is that there's so many layers of what they do, so many facets of it, that I wish would just plug into WWE. You know?
Well, yeah. Look at AEW. I mean, it's plugged into AEW.
I know.
I mean, it literally is. It is plugged into AEW. Literally, like, I mean, and that's why we love AEWs, because it takes that little bit. It doesn't take the whole format. It like sprinkles it on top. You know, like it's perfect.
Here's my other thought, random thing. Have we ever seen an AJ Rollins feud? I don't remember one.
I feel like we have.
It had to have happened. I'm sure we've seen matches, but have we seen an AJ Rollins feud?
No, I don't think so. No, because they never really crossed paths, because Rollins was never really the champion when AJ, maybe AJ was the champion at the same time.
That
you
needs
know?
To be a
Rollins versus Styles and Money in the Bank 2019.
Right, that's right. I was there. I was in the arena for that match.
Universal title for the red title
on WWE.com. Universal title match WWE Money in the Bank 2019.
Oh, Seth was the champ.
Seth was the champ.
He just beat Brock.
Yeah. But we haven't got a proper feud between
those
two.
I was there.
We need. Anyway, all right, let's get out of here. We talked about a lot. We're gearing up. Sasha, I like when she slapped Bianca in the face. We didn't mention that. That was fun. Clearly, Bianca was like, just fully hit me, which I always dig. Oh,
yeah. Dropped it to a knee.
Bianca
did not
really
look like
fucking
the EST.
Hard. And we're starting to see what night one and night two looks like. It's looking fun. I mean, it's going to be really fun to watch Mania. I'm excited for it. I hope they get this stuff together. I mean, the Shane Braun thing, I don't know what to say. It's some things happen in wrestling that are just so embarrassing. You hope your significant other doesn't walk by the screen when it's happening.
That's a match for the Shane fans. Like, only. It's like, if you're a Shane Mark, I mean, you're going to be going crazy.
Anyway, what's going on in AEW NXT tonight, Tulo? And then we'll you know, we're going to talk about it on the bonus episode, but what are we looking forward to?
Anything? I'm trying to think. AEW, they're all on the builds. Oh, we have John Silver versus Darby Allin. I hope John Silver wins the TNT title. That's a match tonight that I'm really looking forward to.
Okay.
The women's division is starting to heat up. I think Ty Conti versus Nyla Rose. A bunch of good tag team stuff. There's some trios. Pentagon and Phoenix are with Kid Laredo versus the Bucks and our favorite Brandon Cutler. But I'm excited. But Kenny was just on Impact and Cut. If you haven't watched it, make sure you watch that. And if you haven't checked out also AW Dark Elevation, Dan, give it a go. It's actually a really good show. Paul White and Tony Schiavone are incredible announcers. Really fun. They drop so much character work into that show that it's like, it's a really nice show to put on when you get a chance.
I'll check it out. All right. Cool. Well, we're going to get out of here. Everybody remember, I'm going to be updating you. I'm here in Hawaii. Wow, that was a good escape for talk about wrestling with you guys. I appreciate that.
No problem.
I'm waiting to see if I got a tournament match coming up. I'm going to be training. I'm sharpening up frankly, shouldn't even say this, but because I don't want any op research on this, but I'm sharpening my stunner lately. Watching tapes. Working with a couple guys. I'll keep them. I said I wouldn't mention who they are here. It's pretty much deadly at this point. So, I'm getting ready for some more tournaments here in Waikiki. I'll be in the LaCroix Hotel hiding out. Until I go. But stay tuned to the Facebook group and the Twitter at COW Podcast, Twitter and Instagram. But the Twitter breaks news first, by the way, just so you know that. And then the Facebook group, you know, keep your eyes peeled leading up to WrestleMania for updates on the King of Iron Fist tournament. And I'm going to take it fucking home and bring the title back. And I'll be flying back. I'll be flying back with the title.
You better.
Mania weekend. So it's going to be sick. Everybody, you can support this podcast. You want our new sticker? It's dope. Check it out. It's in the Facebook group. People post pictures on my Instagram at Dan Black Attack. You can see pictures of it. Angela Zhang made it. Amazing art. They're limited time. I have a very limited amount of them left. So just sign up for Patreon right now, and that's all you got to do. Any level, $2 level, whatever. Patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. All right. Hey, everybody. One last thing. I'll start announcing the Calzoom Thunderdome schedule for Mania. I'll probably next week have that for what we're going to be doing. So that's, you know, same deal. At the $10 level of Patreon, we'll be watching a lot of wrestling. That it's going
to
be crazy.
I need to talk to you about that. So
yeah. Yeah, do that. Patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Hey, everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Cheers up.
Cheers up.